Amen, amen. You guys can have a seat. God is so good. We are so undeserving of His love. And if you're just wondering why is God good, is for us to remember that Jesus died for us, for our sins, and how we couldn't fulfill it. Jesus came for us, and He is so good for that. And He's faithful with us through every storm. He's with us in every single moment. So my name is Tim Agrimson. I'm one of the pastors here. Just want to say welcome on this Memorial Day weekend. So glad that you're with us. For those that are watching at home or in the woods or in a camper, we just want to say welcome. We miss you. We hope you have a great time killing a bear or something like that. But it's going to be a good day today. It's going to be a unique day together. We're going to do something. I'm not going to preach today. I'm going to share something with you that the Lord has been laying on the leadership's heart today. So if you're new with us today, this is going to be a little bit more unique. This is going to be a little bit more of like a family conversation because God is calling us into something truly great. And I want to share what that is with you. Before we get into it today, this is Memorial Weekend, and it's a time for us to remember those that have given their lives for our freedom. Men and women gave up their futures, gave up their careers, gave up their hopes, their dreams of being parents, starting businesses. They gave that all up so that you and I can have freedom. Aren't we blessed?
Amen.
I love this country. I'm thankful for this country, and I can enjoy the freedom of this country because of the sacrifice of many. That's the country we live in. And that's what this day and this weekend is about, is remembering a sacrifice. And the phrase came to me as I was thinking about that is, don't waste the sacrifice. Don't waste the sacrifice. Men and women have given their lives so that you can experience freedom. Let's not waste that sacrifice by wasting our life watching Netflix. Let's not waste our lives, waste what we have been given, because we don't realize that men and women gave up their lives so that you could have a life here today and a fullness of that life. And with that concept of don't waste your life, it made me think of don't waste the sacrifice of the cross. Jesus died for us so that we could have life, an abundant life, so that we could experience being part of something greater. Let's not waste the sacrifice of the cross. Let's you and I go and change the world. Now, half of you just rolled your eyes when I said that phrase, change the world, didn't you? Now, I want to share with you why you just rolled your eyes with me. Because I love watching people. Because on this stage, I get to see all your faces. And I could tell by the generations, when I said that phrase, change the world, there was different reactions. And I want to show you why you had different reactions. Because for late teens and early 20s, the phrase change the world is actually very inspiring. They're excited about that. They dream about that. They want to make change. They want to change the world for good. They want to do social change or justice change or whatever that is. That's why the majority of the things that you see on YouTube or on television, when it comes to big movements, it's mostly young people. That's why when it comes to mission trips, most people that go on mission trips are young people, because they believe that they can change the world. They're inspired by that. They're excited about that. So if you're in that age bracket today, don't lose that flame, because what happens once you hit about 30, up until about 50-something, you move from changing the world to growing your world. Suddenly, you get less motivated about changing the world. You get more motivated about paying the bills. You get more motivated about raising kids, trying to figure out a retirement plan, trying to pick a new car, trying to find a house that you like. That becomes your motivation. So if you're in that age bracket today, that's often where you live, is that mindset. So changing the world's great for the young people, but right now, I just got to change this diaper. You know, this is where I'm at in this life. And then we move into the final stretch, the golden years of the retirement years. And that mindset is to preserve the world. They move from changing the world into, I want to preserve this world. They see all the change that's happening, and then we get scared. We get terrified because all that's changing. And we often would say the phrase, oh, if we just go back to the good old days. Oh, when I was growing up, all that's happening around me scares me. So isn't that amazing? We go from wanting to change the world, then we get scared of the change of the world. And so this is the paradox that we live in. But I want to present to you today that you, right now, are changing the world. No matter where you are in that spectrum, because in order to change the world, all you need to do is change someone's world. In order to change the world, all you have to do is change someone's world. And each one of you, like it or not, you've changed somebody's world because they interacted with you. Good or bad. Because of their interaction with you as a parent, as a coworker, as a friend, as a child, whatever that interaction could be, you've actually influenced that person's world and you've changed their world. That's what you do. That's what we do together. Our life impacts our world. And so with this idea of changing the world, because you and I change the world, I began to think about who changed the world the most. Now, whether you believe in Jesus or not, if you are the most staunch Christian or you're the biggest atheist, you cannot deny the fact that Jesus has changed the world more than any other historical person ever. Our time, how we count our years, is based off of Jesus. If you didn't know that, AD and BC, it's based off of Jesus. Governments have been influenced by Jesus. The American government has a strong foundation with the influences of Jesus' teaching. Teachers in our society for generations have used Jesus as an example for teaching morality. Jesus has changed the world more than any other person ever. But how did he do that? How did Jesus change the world? By getting on TikTok and becoming a good influencer? By doing mass rallies with loud music and wore skinny jeans? Of course not. He changed the world by changing one person's world at a time. If you look at the life of Christ, he often withdrew from the crowds and interacted with the one. If it was a blind person, or if it was a woman that had sickness for years, whatever it was, Jesus would stop and love that one. And isn't it amazing that because how he did that, he influenced 12 men who therefore influenced others and influenced others. And now you're here today. Because one by one, a candle has been lit for Jesus. Jesus changed the world. And for us as a church, at New Life Church, we have a mission called embracing each person with the life-changing grace and truth of Jesus. Each person, each individual person matters. So today, what I want to do with you is going to be different. When you came in, on your seat was this. Now, I know you're going to be so tempted, but you're going to have such good integrity that you're not going to look ahead, are you? No, you're going to stay on each page at a time. So in the midst of COVID, what was happening as everything was going chaotic in our world, the leadership at New Life Church just said, Lord, what do you want us to do in this season? God, how do you want us to act? Where do you want us to dream? How do you want us to do church? And so the Lord laid on the leadership's heart this packet. Now, some of you are looking ahead because I can see you from the stage. You're breaking the rules already. But the Lord laid on, and we're calling it a vision script. And what we lay out in this after hours and hours of prayer is where we believe the Lord is taking us collectively as a church for the year 2024. So this is written with that in mind, 3 years from now, that the Lord laid on our hearts where we believe he's taking us. So I'm about to share with you 2024. So on that first page, what you'll see is the mission is embracing each person with the life-changing grace and truth of Jesus. It's the cover page. The vision of this is bridging all generations to make Jesus known. So that's the how. We want to old and young coming together. We believe that Jesus is more known and glorified when older and younger are together. Now, here's something I want you to see. The when is disciples who make disciples. So oftentimes, we're all asking, what's the when in life, in my job, in my marriage? How do I know if I'm, quote unquote, winning? Well, the same could be true for the church. How does the church know if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing on this planet? Is it if there's a lot of people in the seats or a big budget or big buildings? What is it? Well, Jesus gave it to us. He said, go and make disciples. Make disciples. And so for us, when people become a disciple and begin to make disciples, that's how we know we're doing what the Lord wants us to do at this church. People becoming disciples and making disciples of Jesus. So, are you guys ready to jump ahead 3 years?
Go.
This group is always, I don't know about this side over here, I'm telling you. Yeah, there we go, it's about time. But we're going to jump ahead 3 years. So I just want you to know, because you're going to be like, wait a minute, Tim, this isn't happening right now. What about this and this and this? Just bear with me. We're looking ahead, believing and trusting that the Lord wants to do this. And one thing I want to just make very clear, you're going to feel overwhelmed. You're going to feel scared. You're going to feel underqualified. And you're going to see a need for God. That's the best place you can be. That's when God works the best. So, the first page, you guys can turn there now. Thank you for being so patient. It should have a yellow heading. It's about leadership at New Life Church. Now, you might think, okay, this is weird, but we're going to get down into the nitty-gritty here because we just love each other. We go there, okay? But leadership, I want to make a statement, and then we can all read this together, so heads up. Okay. Throughout Scripture, whenever you saw a massive move of God in the lives of people, God always, almost every time, put somebody into leadership before the move happened. If it was Esther, Moses, Gideon, whoever it was, God would place somebody in leadership, Deborah, and then God would work. So we realize as a leadership, those that are leading or influencing, there needs to be some accountability, some structure, some challenge for us. So this is for ministry team leaders, elders, staff, small group leaders. This is the leadership of New Life Church. And so I want to read this with you. So this is 2024, the leadership of New Life Church. New Life leadership teams, pastor, elder, staff, ministry leaders are in love with Jesus first. We are creative and innovative leaders who think outside the box. We are driven by our desire to see each person embrace with the life-changing grace and truth of Jesus. We are personally invested in the pursuit of this mission. The reason why we care so much is because there is no greater joy than to see people become disciples who make disciples of Jesus. Our New Life values drive us. Our New Life culture filters what leadership decisions we make. So underneath there's three boxes. And each box is a reflection of what the church, who the church is and what we want from the leadership of the church. And this can be applied to you. So the first thing is values. You guys have values. Each person in here has certain values. Your value might be you love to eat at the table together as a family. Or you have a value of always going to get Culver's ice cream on a warm summer night. I don't know what your values are, but there are certain things that you really believe in as a family and as an individual. Well, a church has certain values, and here's what our values are. God's voice, we value God's voice, and we're going to listen to God's voice. We value courageous faith. And so we're going to act. We value authentic families, so we're going to accept. Trusting relationships, we're going to support. Healing family, we're going to protect. And next generation, we're going to invest. Those are our values. Values are what drive you. They move you forward. And that's what's moving us as a church. So those are the values. And then here's the accountability side of our expressions on how we're going to lead. So this is accountability for me. It's accountability for all leadership here at the church. We are going to be in love with Jesus first. Amen, somebody? Got to start with love for Jesus. Held accountable to Scripture. We're going to be passionate about making disciples who make disciples. We're going to reflect the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to be continually being trained. Now watch this. We're going to be mentoring and going to be mentored. Meaning that we're not doing this alone. Meaning that Tim Agramson ain't good enough by himself. He needs somebody to mentor him. And I need to be mentoring somebody. That's what we want every leadership to be experiencing. And we're going to ask that each leader is actively part of a small group. That nobody's doing this in isolation. And we're able to do healthy conflict following biblical instruction. Yeah, let me explain that one for a second. Here's the deal, guys. If you don't know how to do conflict in life, you're going to have really shallow relationships, right? Right? Okay, this is I thought this was a no-brainer. Because if we can't have conflict, you can't have deep relationships. Healthy conflict brings healthy relationships. Because if you never argue with somebody and you're always stuffing your feelings, maybe this is a good marriage counseling session right now, but if you're always stuffing your feelings, well, something bad's going to happen eventually. Okay, either you're going to explode or you're just going to walk out that door. That's dangerous. And so what we've said as a church, we need to be able to do healthy conflict with each other, meaning that instead of, I'll tell you what unhealthy conflict is, parking lot meetings or parking lot conversations. Did you see so-and-so in there? Did you see how they were dressed? Did you hear what they said? That's unhealthy. Healthy is going to the person and having the conversation with them. Hey, you did this and it hurt me. I'll share a failure story for you guys so you guys can feel better about yourself and worse about Tim. So here we go. One time I was with some students and I was just saying, hey guys, we need to be able to have healthy conflict and share our true feelings. And, you know, talk it out. And afterwards, one of the students came over to me and she was like, Tim, I got a problem with somebody. I said, who do you got a problem with? She's like, I'm really scared to tell them. I'm like, it's okay. It's going to be great. She says, it's you I have a problem with. I'm like, you can't have a problem with me. Come on. But she shared how I hurt her because I didn't put her in a certain position in leadership along those lines. But that was healthy. She came to me and shared. Church, I know we're getting down to the weeds. We have to be able to do this. We have to be able to have conversations. I'll tell you one thing that makes Tim Agramson angry. There's a few things that make me angry, but it's gossip. Like, you'll see the bad side of Tim Agramson with gossip. Because gossip destroys people. It never builds them up. The only thing that builds up during gossip is yourself. Because you're making yourself feel better than somebody else at their expense. And so I'm pressing about, I know if you're new, like, whoa, what kind of church is this? But this is important for us, guys. We're going to break this thing down because we have to understand to do healthy conflict is vital for a church. So this is going to happen in your small groups. This is going to happen at Celebrate Recovery. This is going to happen in just life in general. Conflict happens. And Matthew 18 tells us to go to that person alone without anybody else, and share with them. And if they still don't listen, bring somebody along with you. Okay? Well, it's going to be okay because it's the Bible, so we're good. All right. So that's how leadership leads. And now I want the last one is our culture. And simply put, culture is your kind of crazy, meaning that everybody's got their own culture. And what culture does is it makes you filter out the decisions that you want to do. So we choose as leadership, Jesus over trends, biblical truth over personal preference, adventure over comfort, generosity over self-interest, encouragement over criticism, grace over judgment, collaboration over isolation, multiplication over maintenance, reinvention of ourselves over tradition, and to do a few things great instead of many things good. That's the leadership. That's who we want to be. That's going to be our culture. So for some of you, you're like, I don't care what you guys are talking about, but I really want you to understand, this is who's trying to lead this church. This is that group. This is what we're praying to become in the next few years as leadership. So that's the leadership. Now I want to transition over to our prayer. What are we asking God for? And some of you have heard these already, but the next page over, what we're asking for is, what are we praying for by January 2024? This is our prayer together, asking God. And Tony said it great last week. Didn't Tony do a great job? Just an awesome job. Tony said, what you care about is what you pray about. So if I were to look at your prayer life, I'd see what you care about. And so as a church's life, what we pray about is what we care about. And so here's what we're praying for and we're asking God for. All right, so we focus on making disciples who make disciples by the Big Four growth track. Really quick, can I just explain this? So when I say a disciple of Jesus, being a disciple and making disciples, how we at this church are going to identify what a disciple is, simply put, is the Big Four. To know Jesus, find community, discover purpose, and live the mission. Underneath there's a lot of subpoints like prayer, reading your Bible, evangelism. But we're just using the Big Four as our gauge of how is somebody doing in their walk with Christ. Are they knowing Jesus? Are they in relationship with him? Do they understand the gospel? Are they in community? Are they alone? Are they isolated? Or are they with other believers? Are they knowing their purpose and using their gifts to serve? And finally, are they out living that mission? Are they embracing other people with Jesus? So that's the individual. And then with that, we have four big prayers that we're asking God for. The first one is we're asking God that 200 baptisms have been celebrated of people who have come to know Jesus. I want to try that one again. 200 baptisms have been celebrated of people who have come to know Jesus. Amen. I knew you guys are excited about that. We've already seen several at New Life in this past few months. We're already seeing God work this way. Let me tell you something. I'm going to get my little excitement on because you guys need to get a little woken up here for a second. There is nothing greater in life than seeing somebody come to know Jesus, because it's heaven or hell. That's the Bible for us. We rather like it or not. And so our main purpose is to see people come to know Jesus, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to God except through Jesus Christ. So our goal, our hope, is every single person fall in love with Jesus and know the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
That's it right there. All right. After that, it's vital that people are in community. You cannot do the Christian walk without other Christians, believers in your life. You cannot do it. You need community. And so our prayer is 600 people have taken their next steps in finding community through our small group ministry, where each person is actively investing in becoming disciples and making disciples of Jesus. 600 people. Won't that be an exciting day to see? Discover Purpose. We're praying for 400 people have gone through the Discover class, where each person finds their gifts and discovers their purpose at New Life. The graduates of Discover class activate their faith by loving one another and serving in ministries and teams. 400 people will go through that class and then go in and start serving and using their gifts and talents to serve. The last thing is 20,000, we say hours in there, we're going to say acts, have been invested into our neighborhoods and communities in the past 3 years. We can't help but live the mission as a church. The communities, our neighbors, neighborhoods need to know that we love them and that we care about them. That's what that's all about. It's already, there's been several thousand acts that have been done. Because on that board out there, each pin represents somebody going out there and serving. So if you look at that board when you walk out, each of those is somebody saying, I'm going out and serving as a church. And so the next 3 years, we want to do 20,000 of them to be that light to the community. We are praying to reach over 300 elementary kids for Jesus through our Sunday mornings and over 120 through our student ministry. We have become a hub for young people in Southeast Polk and the surrounding school districts. Each child has a caring leader and a consistent group of peers in their life. With our church-wide small group ministry, we have seen life-changing in so many ways. One of the greatest things we have seen is the combination of the wisdom from the older generation with the passion of our youth. When this happens, Jesus is magnified in us and around us. We are relentless to bridge together generations because when you do, Jesus is known from one generation to the next. That's the prayer, guys. That's what we're praying for. Okay. Wait, really quick before you turn. Are you guys excited?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, I know we want to, but we just got to get excited for what God can do. And I know you're asking how, aren't you?
Yes.
How? Well, turn the page then, guys. All right, so that was God's side. There's God's side, and then there's our responsibility with that. And so I'm going to read this top section with you. So we have been blessed with a church body of 1,000 people who have been embraced with the grace and truth of Jesus each weekend. Our online community reaches 2,000 weekly. We understand the importance of keeping it simple in making and equipping leaders, investing strongly into our building space, and utilizing technology. With our annual budget exceeding $1.2 million. This is 2024, okay? Just want to make sure you understand that. We have seen God do immeasurably more than what we could ask or think. With our church having an all-hands-on-deck mentality, and with 10 full-time staff, we believe the best is yet to come. This is big. Okay, so I'm going to break each of those sub-points down. The first thing is we're just going to keep things simple. We're going to keep things simple at this church, which means we're going to start with our love for Jesus. You're going to hear that a lot. It starts with our love for Jesus. We've got to love Jesus as we do this. We're going to focus on making disciples by using the big four. We don't clutter the calendar. We only do things that lead to people in becoming and making disciples of Jesus, meaning that we're just not going to do a bunch of just stuff. We want to be very intentional in everything that we do so that people can become disciples of Jesus. We are going to really focus on doing four main events a year that focus on the big four. Now, that doesn't mean that other events won't be happening, but we want to have four major times as a church. And we value all ministries at New Life, yet we're going to emphasize next gen in small groups. So every ministry is important, but next gen in small groups. So we're going to try to keep things very simple for the next 3 years moving forward. Okay, next page. We're going to make and equip leaders. Remember I said everything really is important when it comes to leadership. With God, leadership is really important. We're going to intentionally train leaders in individual ministries. We have resources for our leaders so they feel equipped to lead others. We've created an internship program partnering with local colleges and high schools. Won't that be cool? We raise up new leaders in taking on leadership roles. We intentionally invite young people into areas of leadership within the church. That'll be cool. I can't wait for this church. Man, I want to go. Sounds great. Okay, now the next page, you're going to have the most questions about. So I'm not going to answer those questions in this setting, as you probably can tell why, but I'll explain where I can answer the questions. The next is about building space, okay? Here we go. We invest in and add on to our current facility. We understand to ensure effective ministry, we need effective space. We've expanded our children's space so that 300 elementary kids have a caring leader and a consistent group of peers in their life. Using the fun and innovation, we have built a Christ-centered addition where kids can't wait to learn more about Jesus. Knowing that relationships are key to us growing in Christ, we've also expanded our lobby to be more welcoming and easier to connect with each other. In a church of over 1,000 weekly attenders spread across three services, connecting can be very difficult. Adding space for adults to connect has been vital for us as we have grown. These spaces are used for classes and groups throughout the year and also allow space to host smaller gatherings for people. This next part is very important because it'll bring some clarification. We want to be a church that goes into our community, but also a place where our community comes to us. A standalone student and community building have been used for just that. We host a coffee shop that is used throughout the week. people from Pleasant Hill, Altoona, and the surrounding areas come to use the Freedom Center to be a place to do business, drink coffee, study, and connect with friends. This building is also used regularly for our student ministry activities and events. So let me make this very simple. For years, New Life, if you're new here, you won't understand this, but just let me explain. New Life has had a couple or even several false starts when it came to a building addition. A couple times we were going to do it. And every time something came up, and I don't call them false starts, I call them God pauses. Because nobody could have predicted COVID. Nobody could have predicted what happened in this church. And so those were God pauses. At this point, the elders feel extremely confident that it's God's time to say go. That with that moving forward. And so we used to, you have some images in your mind if you've been here for a long time, but we're looking at expanding our current facility and adding an additional building for community and students. Now, what I'm going to do this next summer, because you have a lot of questions about that, and I would love to answer them. So what I'm going to do this next summer is I'm going to be meeting with a lot of you to talk about these things, to get the best understanding of where we are as a church, what are the needs, and then so we can run fully come the fall. And also with that, you probably have some just questions based on off of this. Starting in like the next week, I have time slots in my calendar, and so do the elders and the staff, to meet with you and answer any questions that we can. We don't want you to have this in your mind. We want to answer the questions. So on your way out, there's a little sheet out there in the midst of everything else. It will show you, it's called Ice Cream and Dream. So if you want some free ice cream and you want to dream a little bit, I would love to talk with you more about this. But isn't this cool? Isn't this exciting? So it's more than a little scary. It's a lot of scary, okay? And let me tell you something. Can I just be raw with you guys? Staying up here and reading this is so scary. Because you're all looking at me like, how are you going to do it, Tim? It's like, I don't know. God knows. And I just know that this is where God's calling us. And I can't wait to be a part of it. And I don't know how messy it's going to get, but I just love that God's calling us to do something greater than just maintain. He's calling us to be part of something greater. Last page. We love and use technology. I think it's important to put that in there because I just know New Life, the people, don't love and use technology. It's just not your natural bent. But for us as a church, in the world that we live in, we've just realized, hey, we just need to embrace this. It's not going away. It's not going to be the good old days. This is the world we're in, and we want to influence people for Jesus. And so the bottom portion of that, we have invested into making our video production top of the line. Already, David has done a great job this past year, hasn't he, of moving us from where we were to where we are. So David, awesome job and his team. We've been able to extend the reach with the gospel message by streaming all of our services and being active on all major platforms. We use several cameras on Sunday along with upgraded lighting sound to produce top-of-the-line video production. We utilize all forms of technology, invest in interactive online church community. Throughout Central Iowa, New Life is becoming a leader in creative arts with church production. The new front door for New Life is the online door. Mm-hmm. Most of you aren't loving it. But listen, change the world one person at a time. How are young people being reached today? Technology. If we love them, we want to reach them with the gospel. And I just want you guys to know that you are becoming part of something great. This was a very unique Sunday. This was not a typical preach them Sunday and then walk out and forget. And I love that it's on Memorial Day because I love that phrase, don't waste a sacrifice. And for us moving forward as a church, for those that are here a long time or this is your first Sunday, this is what we're going to be about for the next 3 years. We are going to run together. And each one of you has a part in this. I want to say a phrase or say something really quickly. If you just want to sit in your seat and sit back and watch church, you're going to get frustrated here because it is going to be all hands on deck from now on. You are so necessary. God's placed you here for a purpose. And wouldn't that just be so neat if because of what you can contribute that somebody would be in eternity that wasn't going to be? That because you said yes to what God could do, that people come to know Jesus. That they would come to know him for the first time, or he'd be refreshed in their life. Like, I cannot wait for that. There's nothing that gives me more joy than that. And so for us as a church family, in the middle of COVID, in the middle of trying to maintain, we want to say, hey, we want to have courageous faith, and we want to act, and we want to step out where God is calling us to go. And I know you have questions, and I want to do my best to answer them, but I want to do that more in a smaller setting than this, if that's okay. But there's a way that you can ask questions on your way out. Discover Center, grab that slip. You can ask any question that you'd like. I would love to talk with you. But as we close our time, I want us to pray together. I want us to just to pray over this, pray over the people, just pray and asking God to open our eyes to see what could happen, to see how we could reach people for Jesus. So if you wouldn't mind just coming with me in a little quick prayer, asking the Lord to do way more than what we could ask or imagine. Pray with me. Oh, Father, God, I know most people didn't come in today expecting this. I know most people have things going on in their life that's truly overwhelming. But Lord, I pray that you would help each of us not be overwhelmed. But Lord, that we could truly use the life you've given us to see others come to know you. That we would make disciples of Jesus Christ. That we'd be a church, Lord, that is truly a light in a dark place. Lord, move in this place. Lord, I pray that you'd move in all of our hearts. Holy Spirit, please take this Sunday and multiply it for your glory. We love you so, so much. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen. Why don't you guys stand with me? We're going to close with this song. And this song can be applied to what we just described or applied to things going on in your life. Some of you are overwhelmed with things just going on in your life. And let's turn our eyes upon Jesus to see what he wants us to see.